Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Gimel and Aleph for the two dots. The Gemara says, Shachato Shelo Le'Ochlav. Mishnah mentions that if he shechs it Shelo Le'Ochlav for people who cannot eat it, then you have what we call Pasul Karban HaPesach. And if he does that on Shabbat, he's Chayav HaChatat, because he ended up doing nothing and he's violating the Shabbat. The Gemara says, Pshita. It's pretty straightforward. Came into Hotam Pasul, Hacha Chayav. We already know from the previous Mishnayot that if you shech the Shelo Le'Ochlav, that it's Pasul. So then by definition over here, by Shabbat, you're going to be Chayav, a Korban Chatat, because you violated the Shabbat. Where it says, now, Mishum the Tana Seifa Patur. Tana Resha Chayav. So it has to do with the latter half of the Mishnah. The latter half of the Mishnah, which tells us that you're Patur, so then in parallel structure brought the earlier case of Chayav. It says, Vahanami Pshita. That's also pretty straightforward, that if you shechato Shelo Le'Ochlav Uli Ochlav, you shecht it both for people who can and cannot eat it. So there, it's a kosher Karban HaPesach. If it's a kosher Karban HaPesach, then you're going to be patur the Gabei Shabbat. So why do you have to tell me that? It's a hanami pshita, mishub da'atum kasher, hocha patur. If the Karban is kasher, as we know from the previous Mishnayot, then obviously by Shabbat, you're going to be patur. Ella, I did the tane shachatosh lo lishmo b'Shabbat. So since the Mishnah began with the case of shachatosh lo lishmo b'Shabbat, Taninami Shelo Le'Ochlav. Therefore it wrote also Shelo Le'Ochlav. V'hi gufa l'amali. So then why did the Mishnah mention Shachto Shelo Lishmo b'Shabbat? Why did it mention that case at all? Shem de'gabay li'fluge Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua. To bring us the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua with regards to someone who is ta'ah b'dvar mitzvah. Someone makes a mistake that involves a mitzvah. So truthfully, the latter half of the Mishnah is completely unnecessary. All the cases there, as when we read it, are obvious, because these are cases that show up in the previous Mishnayot. And in the previous Mishnayot, it tells us either it's Pasul or it's a Kasher or Karban HaPesach. The derivative of that is that if it's Pasul, it's going to be a problem on Shabbat. If it's Kasher, then it's not going to be a problem on Shabbat, because it's pretty straightforward. Either you do have a Pesach or you don't have a Pesach. So none of that was necessary. It's all broad, because the first case in the Mishnah, which was Shechato Shelo Lishmo b'Shabbat, Shechato Shelo Lishmo b'Shabbat, then it says you're chayav. Again, there, that's also pashut, because shachato, if you take a korban pesach, shelo lishmo, it's pasul. So why did it bring that case? Because right after that, it discusses the machloket between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So that's the introduction to the case of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, because they discuss the opposite case, where it's other korbanot, l'shem pesach, and that is why the Mishnah starts out that way, and why it includes all these other cases that are, in a sense, unnecessary. So I'm alei Ravuna bar chinin alibrei. Rav Huna Bar Chinina says to his son, when you go before Rabbi Zrika, ask him the following question. The one who says that when you make a chabura that is a kilkul, is a destructive force, patur, how do we deal with our Mishnah? So we had this machloket in the Gemara and Shabbat, machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda believes that chabura can only be done bit Tikkun, has to be a constructive type of chabura, otherwise you're not chayav. Rabbi Shimon believes that you're chayav irrespective of whether there's any tikkun. Might be there's a machloket there amoraim as to whether you need some small tikkun or not, but according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need it to be a tikkun. The difference being whether it's a constructive or destructive force. Chabura, almost by definition, is something that is destructive. You're going causing a wound, causing damage to a person or to an animal. So then, the problem being then, that's destructive in general by Shabbat, we require to be some sort of constructive item in order to be chayav in Shabbat. So there are certain ways where you can have a constructive chabura. One of them is shechita. Shechita turns out to be a constructive type of chabura. Even though you're making a chabura that's destructive in the animal, in the end you end up with a kosher animal. So that's a tikkun. You're able to eat the animal. You've done something that's constructive with the animal. In addition, if you need the blood of the animal for whatever reason, if you make a chabura to get the blood out of the animal, that's also a constructive reason to make a chabura. So that's the question here. Omer mekalkel b'chabura patur, shachato shelo le'ochlav chayav. I want to understand here in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you shech the shelo le'ochlav for those that cannot eat it, that means you now have a pasul karban haPesach, your chayav chatat on Shabbat. My tikkun. What type of tikkun was done to this animal? He failed to bring a good korban. It's a pasul korban. What did he do that was constructive in doing the shechita here? Tikkun imalul lo yirdu. The thing that he fixed here is a unique din within Kodoshim, which is in general, when it comes to Kodoshim, if they are psulim, they don't go on the Mizbeach. You're not supposed to put them on the Mizbeach, they shouldn't end up on the Mizbeach. But if something is psuloba Kodesh, something that goes wrong in Kodesh, two definitions to that, Rashi and Tosafot discuss this, whether psuloba Kodesh means in the Azara, or psulo Kodesh means that it's a psul that's caused by the animal being Kodesh, not because it's something external or some other issue, meaning that the issue could have been that it was kilayim, the animal, or something else that has nothing to do with Kodesh. So if the psulo b'kodesh, there is a din im alu, if they end up on the Mizbeach, lo yerdu, we don't take them down. So even though they're not supposed to go on the Mizbeach, even though they're psul, and you shouldn't put them on the Mizbeach, if for whatever reason they end up on the Mizbeach, you don't take them down. So that's a tikkun over here. The fact that you shechted this animal, shlo lo achlav, it's a pasul korban. Nevertheless, since psulo b'kodesh, if it's put on the Mizbeach anyway, if it lands on the Mizbeach, whatever reason, it was a mistake, it got mixed up with other animals, it was put on the Mizbeach, lo yerdu. So there is a tikkun, there is an aspect of constructive nature to what you did over here. So then he moves on to the next thing. Shachato v'nimtza balmum. What about the case in our Mishnah where he shechs and he finds that it's a balmum, chayav, matikein? What did he do a tikkun over here? Now, balmum is different than the case before. The case before is a psulo b'kodesh. The problem here has to do with the korban itself, that you didn't have people who could eat the korban. So that's psulo b'kodesh. A mum is something that does not go up on the mizbeach, because, first of all, something that can be determined beforehand. Something that can be seen beforehand. Since it's seen beforehand, the kodesh is never chal on the animal, if it was before it made a kodesh, or if it was kodesh and then it got the mum, it needs to be redeemed. But it's not roi the Mizbeach anymore, and it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. So now, I can't give you the same answer I gave you before. So now, Shechatob, and it's a Balmum, we said you're Chayav on Shabbat, because you have a Pasul Karban. What constructive act did he do here, that he should be Chayav on Shabbat for? So when it says, Tivyeim bedokin sheba'ayin v'libid Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnayot in Zvachim discussed that Rabbi Akiva believes that a Balmum im ala lo yered. That if a Balmum ends up on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take it off. There, the Gemara says, it's a unique case. It's not by all mumim that Rabbi Akiva says it. He only says it, bedokin sheba'ayin, which is some sort of blemish in the eye, probably a cataract, something that's wrong in the eye. The reason for that is because that is a mum that only appears by behema, by oaf. That mum does not appear. An oaf that has a dokin sheba'ayin can go on the mizbeach. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, that type of mum, which is not a full-fledged type of mum, if it ends up on the Mizbeach, you don't take it down. So therefore, that'll be the case here. The case here, we'll say, is a case where the mum in the animal is a dokin shebaayin, that, according to Rabbi Akiva, if it's put up on the Mizbeach, will not be taken down. Damari malu, lo yerdu. So again, we have something constructed by the shechita over here, which allows it to end up on the Mizbeach. So he says, what about the last case? Shachato v'nimtza treifa b'seiter. You shecht it, and you find it that it's a treifa in a location that you couldn't have seen beforehand. You couldn't have anticipated it. It's after the fact that you have this information. Patur.
When we make this thing, a woman, a treifa, a woman, is when you see before you enter the shechita, and a treifa is afterwards.
An animal who has different sized limbs is a mum, but that's not a treifa. Mum is an appearance, an issue with the animal that makes it not ra'ui the mizbeach. Treifa is something that will cause the animal to die within the next 12 months. So, yes, a treifa is problematic, or in a sense is mum, but it's not the other way around. A mum doesn't have to be a treifa. So the two are not synonymous in that way. Okay, but a mum in general is something that's visible because not a proper offering to God because of the problems with the animal. Treifa is problematic because it won't live for the next 12 months. It's not considered to be quote-unquote alive in that sense because it's going to die, and it's going to end up dying anyway. There are two types of treifa. Treifa can be visible from the outside. Treifa may only be noticeable after the fact. So here, the Mishnah says, if it's a treifa after the fact, you're patur because when you shechted the animal, you did it with all the proper reasons, and that wasn't something you could have anticipated. There's no way you could know that it's a treifa from something that is internal until you shechted the animal. So that's something you're going to be patur for. Ah, bigalui. The inference we would draw from this is that if it was a treifa that was on the outside, chayav, then it would be chayav, matikain. Over here, where he shechs the treifa, what did he do that was beneficial? It's a treifa. It's not something alu lo yerdu. If it goes on to the mizbeach, it comes right back down because it's a treifa, and it doesn't go on to the mizbeach. So what constructive thing did you do here that you're going to be chayav for on Shabbat? It says, tikein lo tzimi de nevela. No problem. There's a difference between a treifa and a nevela. There's a very key difference. And the ve'lo is something that dies, an animal that dies without any shechita to it, whether it died naturally or whether it was shot. Whatever the reason is that the animal's dead, it turns into a nevela. A nevela has certain tumah that's associated with it. You have tumah to nevela. Shechita helps a treifa to be metaheret midei nevela. It takes away the shame nevela from it. So even though you shechted it, and afterwards you find it to be a treifa, the fact that it's a treifa, not a nevela, makes a difference with regards to tumah. A treifa does not have tumah nevela. So it doesn't have the tumah that a nevela has, and that's very important. Because that's something that is a tikkun. You prevented the animal or the carcass from having the din of tumat nevela. In this case, we saw it was a visible treifa on the outside. So this animal is for sure going to be a nevela, because there's no way you can eat it. There's no way you can call it a mizbeach. The fact that you shechted it now is metairet midei nevela. So matkif lo ravino hatanyo. We have a breita. Shochet chatat b'shabat b'chutz lavor ezara. Person's on a hot streak. Yishech sachatat. On Shabbat. So already we have a problem. Ishek Neo Korban on Shabbat. That's number one. Number two is Bechutz. He does it outside the Mikdash. Which is another problem, which is Shkutei Chutz. Ishek Neo Korban outside the Mikdash. Number three is he does it Avodah Zarah. So there's three problems here. All of which result in a Chatat. Korban Chatat he does it B'Shogeg. So that's the assumption here. Chayav Alea Gimel Chatot. He has Chayav three Chatot over here. Where it says Matikin. So that makes sense. In terms of Shkutei Chutz, in terms of Avodah Zarah, fine. But in terms of Shabbat, what type of constructive action did you take over here that you can now say, I'm Yizchayav HaChatat for Shabbat? So Amar Rav Avira, Shemotziyo Midei Eiver Minachai. He helped it out because now it's no longer Eiver Minachai. Before this point in time, as Rashi says, it would not be Ra'ui, the Ben Noach. If a Ben Noach ate it, it would have been Eiver Minachai, and he would be subject to the death penalty. Now that it's dead, that's killed, for the Ben Noach, it's no longer Eiver Minachai that he could consume it. Ben Noach is not governed by all the restrictions here, whether it's Shkutei Chutz, whether it's Takrovet the Avodah Zarah, none of those restrictions will prevent him from eating it. I mean, as a Jew, we have a problem. These are Yisurei Hana'ah. These are big problems in terms of eating it. For a non-Jew, for a Ben Noach, he doesn't have any of those issues. Now, not that we can give it to him, but if he happens to eat it, he won't be subject to a violation of one of the Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. If he ate it beforehand, it was Eiver Minachai. He eats it now, it's not Eiver Minachai. So there is a constructive aspect to what he did over here, which is he now changed the status of the animal from Eiver Minachai to being Shachut, or even Nevela, whatever you want to call it. He's done now. He's changed the status of the animal for the benefit of some individual, and that's why there's a tikkun over here. In terms of the chataot that you bring here, for Shkutei Chutz, fine. Takrovet Avodah Zarah is interesting because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that Takrovet Avodah Zarah, Shech Samin Hashem Avodah Zarah, is Tumah. Tumah, like Tumat Amet. Avodah Zarah or Takrovet Avodah Zarah take on the forms of Tumah. So what Tosafot says over here, Mashma, the Takrovet Avodah Zarah, Mitama, Mi, Deoraita. That the Takrovet Avodah Zarah makes it Tameh, Mi, Deoraita. Mi, Deloka Amar, because it doesn't say over here, Tikein, No Tzimi, Dein, Devela. That he removed it from having the din of nevela. Because why doesn't the Gemara answer the same thing over here that it answered before? And it could have answered it that when he shechted it over here, he changes it from a nevela into something that doesn't take on tumat nevela because he did shechita. So even though it's a shechita that involves avodah zarah, a shechita that involves shkutei chutz, these are shechitot technically that don't function, I mean they don't do anything for you because in the end, this is a non-kosher animal because of all the other problems. Nevertheless, it takes away the shem nevela from it. If it does that, it's machshir, it's metaheret, midei nevela. That's also constructive, as we said before. If it removes the tumat nevela, that is constructive. How come the Gemara did not give that answer? So Tosafot says the answer is because takrovet avodah zarah is tameh also. And it must be tameh d'oraita. If it's tameh d'oraita, then taking away the tumat nevela is no help over here because it's tameh because of takrovet avodah zarah. And if it's Tameh anyway, then taking away the Nevela aspect doesn't help you because the animal still remains Tameh. That's what Tosafot says over here. And so that's why Gemara opts for another option to say what was the Tikkun here. It wasn't getting rid of the Tumah, but rather it was getting rid of Eiver Minachai. So he says that that's the right, even though in other places it makes it sound like that Tumah, Tekrovet Avodah Zarah, is only Midrabanan. Over here from our Gemara, it sounds like it's a Din de Oraita. Rashi points out that Takrovet Avodah Zarah Mitameh Afilu Be'ohel comes, it's a full-fledged type of Tumah. Although Tosafot points out that you won't be Chayav if you eat Kodashim or if you go into the Mikdash with that type of Tumah, you would not be Chayav for that. but it still has a sense of tumah that makes nevelah irrelevant at this point. Whether it is or isn't a nevelah is no longer relevant because the tumah from avodah zarah. That's why the Gemara moves on to this issue of aver min achai, from aver min achai, get rid of for the ben Noach. All right, next part of our Mishnah. Shachato v'nodolo. This is the last case in the Mishnah where he shechs it with all good intent. He shechs it with a reasonable assumption, we said there. And what ends up happening is the balim died. They became tamei. Something, they left their korban. I mean, things that happened that he could not have anticipated. So over there we say he's patur, because when he shechs it with a reasonable assumption that this is a korban ha-Pesach. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Asham shenitak l'riya v'shachato stam kasher le'ola. So an asham has the same issues that we face with the korban ha-Pesach, and that's what the Gemara is bringing over here. An asham can turn into another korban, just like a Pesach can turn into another korban, which is a Pesach when it's not a Pesach turns into a shlamim, because the Pesach itself is a modified shlamim. So when it's not a Pesach, it is a shlamim. The question is, how do you transition from being a Pesach to a shlamim? Does that happen automatically? Or is that something that you actively have to do? You have to say it's no longer Pesach, it is a Shlamim. But it's called Akira. Do you have to remove the name Pesach from it in order to make it a Shlamim? Or by default, once you can't make it as a Pesach, it turns into a Shlamim. Asham faces that same problem. Asham is paralleled with a Chatat. There's the Asham and the Chatat. There are actually opinions we're going to see in a minute. Rabbi Eliezer, who believes that a Chatat and Asham have the exact same din. Chatat, we know, which is chamesh chataot metot. There are five chataot that, if their problem arises with a chatat, metot, they die. That's the only rectification of ears that they're put away and they die because they can no longer be utilized. Some of them are chatat shemetu balea, chatat whose owners passed away, chatat shenit kapru balea b'acher. They got another chatat and they used it to replace it. Tmurat chatat. These are all of those items, the chamesh chatot that are mentioned that died. We have, according to most of the Tanaim, there is a halacha l'moshe misinai, kosher b'chatat meta, b'asham nitakariya. That whatever dies by a chatat, by an asham, the din is that you put it out to graze. Put it out to graze, wait for it to get a mum. When it gets a mum, you redeem it, and you take with that money, and you purchase an olah with that money. So that's the din of an asham. So an asham really faces the same issue, a little different, but that of a Pesach, which is an asham, when it's no longer useful or no longer can be utilized, it turns into an olah. Question is, what's the process by which it turns into an olah? So we said over here that it has to be nitak l'ri'iya. It has to go out to graze. So now, what happened here? Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, asham shenitak l'ri'iya. It went out to graze. Now, it never gets a mum in it. Vishachato stam. And he goes ahead, and he shechs it without having anything in mind. Kosher le'olah. It turns into an olah, because the result of an asham, when it goes bad, is that it's going to turn into an olah. Now there are a number of things that you see over here, which Tosafot points out right away, which is, kol ikar ri'iya midrabanan. Midoraita lo tzarech ri'iya klal. So it's very clear from here that min haTorah, you don't have to go out and graze and get a mum and all that business. That's a din derabonan to prevent people from switching ashamot into olot directly. In order to prevent that, the Rabbanan instituted that the only way you can switch it from an asham to a olah is have it get a mum in it, redeem it, and then make it into an olah. But min haTorah, you don't have to do that. As soon as the asham is problematic, it can be changed over into an olah. And that's the statement we have here. Rav Huna Marav, asham shenitak l'ri'iya, an asham already, which is no good. As Rashi points out, it's really a case, shemetu balav, the owners passed away, nitkapru b'acher, they had their kaparat through a different asham, got lost, they took another asham, and then they found it. So all these cases here, where the asham is no good to go to the mizbeach, it's going to turn into an olah now. So it was put out to graze, and then all of a sudden he goes, and he shechs it stam. What we say here is kosher the olah. It works. It becomes an olah without any change. So what you see from this statement, which is what the Gemara is going to say in 1 second, and it's important to our case over here, is that you don't need akira. You don't need to remove the shem asham from it to make it into an olah. The default is, once it's no longer an asham, it becomes an olah. The implications for our case are obvious, which is that by Pesach, you would suggest that we say the same thing, which the Gemara will eventually get to, that question, which is that Pesach also should not require akira. And that means if you shecht a Pesach, when it's no longer good as a Pesach, it should automatically become a shlamim. So that'll be that's the outgrowth of this, which we'll get to. That's why it's found here. But now we have a statement by Rav that tells us the Yasham that was put out to graze, even though it's not done with its process. If you go there and shecht its dam, it's kosher le'olah. Alma kasavar. We can conclude from this that the reasoning behind this is, well, by Yakira does not require the removal of the Shem Hashem. Ihochi. So Gemara says, Ihochi kilo nitaknami. Why does he have to put it out to graze? It's clear here that the grazing is not necessary. It's only a din d'rabbanan, as we just said. Because if it was necessary, then he'd have to wait for it to get a mum before he could make it into an olah. The fact that he doesn't have to wait for it shows you that the grazing is only an imposition d'rabbanan. And that midoraita, it's not relevant over here. Because when he goes and checks it, he makes it into an olah. So why do I have to wait until he puts it out to graze? What happens if it's just not a kosher asham? Before he puts it out to graze, he checks it. That should be an olah as well. If you don't require akira, if you don't require it to be the name of the Hashem to be removed from it, then it should be irrelevant whether he puts it out to graze or doesn't put it out to graze. That's all d'rabbanan. Mina Torah, as soon as the Hashem's no good, it turns into an olah according to Rav. So why does the statement here of Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav say that shenitak d'riyah? I should just say it. Hashem that is no longer good for an Hashem, v'shachato stam kosher le'olah. What's this nitak d'riyah business that's going on here? Where it says, Gezeirol achar kapara atul bifnei kapara. This is what we discussed before, that this is an imposition to Rabbanon to prevent problems from happening, which is Gezeirol achar kapara, after he already got kapara with a different asham. So there, you're right, you can switch the asham into nola. Our fear is, if we let you do it then, people say, oh, look, I can switch an asham to nola. And then, in another instance, when it was before they got kapara with another asham, they'll say, yeah, I don't want the asham, I need it for an olah, and you switch it to an olah. What we're afraid is that if we allow people to switch an asham to an olah, in a case where it's mutar, and they have to take no action in between, they're going to make the assumption that asham can turn into an olah anytime. So it's true that after he attained kapara with another asham, he's allowed to do that. But people are not going to understand that, and they're going to just make an asham into an olah whenever they feel like it. So therefore, we said, tak l'riyah. In a case where you already put it out to graze, that's something people are not going to confuse. So really, the truth is, after the asham is no longer good to be an asham, that's either because the balim died, or that's because they got a kapara from a different asham, technically right away it's good for an olah. The rabbanan said, no, nitak l'riyah, go out and graze. So now, if the rabbanan said go out and graze, you need to wait for a mum. We said, no. Rav says, no, you don't have to wait for a mum. As soon as they have to graze, it's already an olah. Truth be, it's already an olah from before it went out to graze. So why am I waiting for it to go out to graze before I make it into a olah, stam? The answer is so people don't get confused. If we allow you to make it into an olah right away, then they're going to get confused and make it into an olah all the time. So I need you to do one action, at least something to show that this isn't your classic case of asham. So as soon as you put it out to graze, that takes me out of the world of asham and says, all right, I'm in a different world. Waiting for a moment, that you don't have to do because midoraita, you don't need the riyah. The riyah is all in the imposition to rabbanan. L'chatchila, you need to wait. But b'di'avad, if you already did it, and you shechted it, it is an olah, and it's a fine olah to put on the mizbeach. Right, so that's the Gemara's answer. Minat tamra, and I'll prove to you that there's a difference between achar kapara and l'tak d'riyah. Meaning that we do have this problem of achar kapara auto lifnei kapara. That's not. Asham shumetu ba'alav or shenitkapru ba'alav. Asham whose owners passed away, or they got their kapara through a different asham. Yireh ad sheyisteev. It should go out to graze until it gets a mum in it. V'imkor, or imacher, it'll be sold, v'iplu dama v'nidava. And those monies will then be put in nidava. Nidava means that for a donation as an olah in the mikdash, the monies were used from these olot to put olot on the mizbeach when the mizbeach was idle. They used to have these donation boxes, or shofarot as they're called, in the mikdash. People used to put money there, and then when the mizbeach was idle, they used to put these on the mizbeach. That's the nidava. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yamut. Rabbi Eliezer says that it gets put to death. That's what I mentioned before. Rabbi Eliezer has the belief that an asham has the same din as a chatat. Because it says in the pasuk, k'chatat k'asham. Chatat and the asham are identical. And just like chatat, we have a halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai, a chatat or metot in this case. So too, the asham is meta. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer believes that there's no rectification of this asham. It's meta, just like the chatat. Rabbi Yishu Omer, yimacher b'yaviv damav olah. You'll sell it. And you'll bring with the monies an olah. Now how that's different than the Tanakama. Tanakama also said it's an olah. Nidava is an olah. The answer there, the Gemara discusses, depends whose olah is it. Is it an olah that belongs to the tzibur? Or is it its own personal olah? Do we say that it turns into an olah and he personally brings it as an olah? Or does it turn into an olah and he donates it to the tzibur? The difference being whose obligation is to bring the nisachim and whether you do smicha on it. If it's your personal olah, you have to do smicha, and you're obligated to bring the nesachim. If it's the olah of the tzibur, then there's no smicha, and the tzibur takes care of the nesachim. So that would be the difference between them. I mean, it's a nuanced difference. They both agree it ends up being an olah. The question is whether what type of olah. Is it a private olah, or is it a public olah? Now, Gemara says, "Bidamavin avol gufo lo." The mission that we just quoted is clear that with the monies, you can make it into an olah, but the goof, meaning the animal itself, you cannot make it into a olah. Why is that? The gazar le'achar parah, ato lifnei kapara. The only way that you can do it is after it gets to be a mum. Why not before it gets a mum? What's the difference before it gets a mum and after it gets a mum? If in the end it's going to end up being an olah, then why can't you bring it as an olah? The answer must be that till it gets a mum in it, we're not satisfied that you've changed something over here. Until you've changed something over here, we're worried about achar kapara atu lifnei kapara. Now, this case over here is, you can't change the zevach as long as it has its name on it. So as long as it has its name on it, we're not going to allow you to change it because of this problem of achar kapara. And so lechatchila, what you should do is wait till it gets a mum, sell it, bring the money, and use it. Now, Rav's statement is, if you did it anyway and shechted it, once it's nitakriya, you're far along in the process, we're not going to get that confused anymore. But if we're the chatchila, we're going to make you wait for the mom, use the monies, and then make it into an olah. But the animal itself, we're not going to let you make it into an olah. Why not? Because of this problem, b'achar kapara lifnei kapara. So that's what Gemara wants to prove, that there is such a concept that after kapara, you can't change it into an olah, even though it should be an olah, you can't change it because of the gzeira lifnei kapara. So now we have a statement. Now we're going to ask from our Gemara or from our cases over here, which is eight favor of Chisda Rav Huna. Chisda now challenges Rav Huna's explanation here in the name of Rav. Shachato v'nada shemashchu balim et yadam. Our Mishnah. Case where he shechs it. And after the fact, he finds out that all the balim took off. They're no longer there. So that's a case of asham shemetu baaleha. Okay, same thing as an asham whose balim die. Here you have a Pesach, basically, whose balim are gone. Right, in here, whether they all left or they died, whatever reason, the balim are no longer relevant. Vitani yala. And what does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that, in that case, you are patur. Why are you patur? Because you had reasonable expectations that there would be balim. Now you find out balim afterwards, you're patur on Shabbat. What's the status of this korban of Pesach? Pasul. It's no good. Vitani yala. And we have said about our Mishnah, that b'chol, if it was a weekday, not Shabbat, ki agavna yisareif miyad, burnt right away. Now, I amart bishlama bayakira, if you tell me that a korban of Pesach needs the shame Pesach removed from it in order to become a shlamim, ha Pesachu, then that's the reason we have a problem here. It's a Pesach, v'kevan, delet le balim, abelet psugo bigufo. Then here it's a korban of Pesach, lacking balim. Korban Pesach lacks balim is a psul in the korban itself. It's a problem for korban of Pesach. Pesach without balim is not a Pesach. So it's psul al begufo. Amatu lahochi sareif miyad. That's why you burn it right away. There's a din we're going to see in 1 second. We're going to bring the halacha. But if you have in kodashim psul al begufo, that there's an endogenous problem with the korban, then it's burnt right away. If it's an exogenous problem, meaning there's a problem with the korban, it's either with the balim, with the dam, then the korban, even though it's pasul, is not burnt right away. It requires what we call ibur tzura. It has to lose its shape, but that means that it goes bad. How does it go bad? You leave it overnight, it becomes lina. Lina happens to be one of the things that psulo begufo. By definition, if you leave it overnight, it's going to become psulo begufo, and then you'll burn it on the mizbeach. Psulo begufo are things like pigul, things like notar, tamei, lina. Those are all psulim begufo. Problems with the balim and the dam are exogenous, external types of problems. Those problems are things that you have to wait, ibur tzura. So the Gemara's point over here is that we have on our Mishnah, we have a qualification of our Mishnah in which we learned, a bright that it taught us, that if it happened on a weekday, you burn it right away. Well, if you burn it right away on a weekday, that's an indication that the Korban has a psul begufo. Now, you can only have a psul begufo if you believe that a Pesach, when it has a shame Pesach, and it remains a Pesach. Well, since it remains a Pesach, what's the problem here? It's a psul begufo. This is a non-kosher Pesach, because it doesn't have balim to it. Non-kosher Pesach, you burn right away. On the other hand, that a Pesach, by default, when it's no good as a Pesach, turns into a shlamim. Here you have a Pesach without balim. That's no longer good as a Pesach. If you say now, automatically, it turns into a shlamim. Mereisha havelei shlamim. Now it's a shlamim. The psulo mishumai. What's the problem here? What's the problem with the shlamim that doesn't have balim to it? Nothing. So why is there a problem with the shlamim? Why would you have to get rid of it? Mishum davar acher. It has an exogenous problem. What's the exogenous problem over here? Because shochit le achar tamid shel ben arbaim. He shechted it after the tamid shel ben arbaim. Ibur tzura boy. Doesn't it need ibur tzura? The problem here with the shlamim without baalim, no problem. What's the problem here with your shlamim that you shechted? Because the korban ha-pesach comes after the tamid shel ben arbaim. The only korban that has a dispensation to be brought after the tamid shel ben arbaim is the korban ha-pesach. As a plain shlamim, you do not have that dispensation. That means you're in violation of the asay of hashlama. And that's what ruins the korban over here. The korban's ruined by the asay of hashlama, not because there's something wrong with the korban inherently. If that's the case, how does it become pasul now? You need ibur tzura. You would have to leave it overnight. The fact that our Mishnah says, or we have a braita that says in our Mishnah that on a weekday you'd burn it right away, is an indication that Pesach, once it is a Pesach, even though it loses its status of Pesach because all its owners are gone, does not automatically turn into shlamim. It remains a Pesach. So when you shecht it, you have a non-kosher Pesach, you have a posel Pesach, burn it. If you thought, like Rav Huna Marav, that, like by the Asham, it automatically turns into an olah, so to over here, the Pesach should automatically turn into a shlamim. A Pesach without balim is no good as a Pesach. That means it should turn into a shlamim right away. If it turns into a shlamim right away, what's the problem when you shechted it? There is no problem with the shlamim without balim. The only problem with the shlamim is, you did it after Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. That's not enough of a reason to burn it right away. You'd have to leave it overnight. So again, the fact that we tell you you burn it right away shows you that we're talking about a fact that you need Akira of the Korban Pesach. You need to remove the Shem Pesach from it. So Gemara says, the Tanya, we have a Braita that tells us this difference. Zakla. This is the principle. Kosh psulo bigufo yisareif miyad. Anything that's a problem in the Gufa Korban is burnt right away. B'damu ba'alim tubar tzurato. Problem is, again, an exogenous problem with something wrong with the dam. The dam spilled. The balim are tmeim, or there's something wrong with the balim that they can't bring the korban. Then tubar tzurato. It has to be left overnight. We'd say the beit ha-sreifa, and then afterwards it'll be burnt. You're taken out to the beit ha-sreifa. So now, that problem of we're talking about here in our Mishnah, if our Mishnah's telling you burn it right away, it tells you they have a psula begufo. That is against the position of Amir Rav that says that an Hashem automatically turns into an Ola, meaning that a Pesach should automatically turn into a Shlamim. That can't be the case in our Mishnah. So then, that's against their position. So now, the Gemara answers, Ela lo tema shachato stam kosher l'shumala. Let's modify, let's change what Rav said, or Rav Huna Marav said. And don't say that he shachato stam, that he shechted it without anything in mind, that's kosher the olah. Ela ema shachato l'shum olah kasher. If he shechs it l'shem olah, then it's kasher, alma. What would be your conclusion? If we went back to the beginning now, and you amended that statement to read, not shachato stam for the asham, but rather shachato l'shem olah, then your conclusion would be, by akira, that you require akira. The only reason it works over here is because you took the Hashem and you shechted it l'shem olah. So that's the answer. The answer is that's what you need. In order for it to be kasher, you need akira. Without akira, it would not be kasher. If you shechted it stam, would not be good. You need the akirat, which would corroborate what's happening in our Mishnah. That you have to remove the shem pesach, the stam pesach does not turn into a shlamim. So now that's fine. Okay, that would be the answer. We're fine with that. The problem is we have other opinions here, and that's what the Gemara is going to be after now. The remainder of the Gemara is following up on other opinions that don't have that ability. How are they going to deal with our Mishnah? So as far as Rav Huna Marav, we amended it to read Shachato L'Shem Olah, and that's it, we're done. It is by Akira, and that's the answer. The answer is you do need Akira, and that's why our Mishnah is Tisareif Miyad, because you checked it at L'Shem Pesach, and it's no good, because it's not a Shlamim, it's a Pesach, and a Pesach without Balim is a Pesul B'Gufo, and you burn it right away. So now we're done with that piece. But then we had earlier, we just had this back on Samach Dalim, right, about 10 daf ago. The Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda Damar Nizraka Mipi HaChabura. It's a case here where the Korban HaPesach, the Baalim did not bring the Korban HaPesach, and it's after Pesach. So we said before, after Pesach, what's the only use for a Pesach after Pesach is that it turns into a Shlamim. Yet, it seemed from the Mishnah that it was Stam the Korban Pesach. So that would have given us an answer to our question. Pesach after Pesach, is it automatically a Shlamim, or is it still a Pesach and you need Akira? Sounded from the Mishnah that it was still a Pesach afterwards. Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda says that Mizukah Mipiach HaBurah for the Beit Midrash, together they came up with this answer. The problem here was the Balim were Tamei Meit, meaning the Achin the Pesach Sheni, and they were pushed off the Pesach Sheni. Hayu Dabai Akira. That's why he needed Akira, was because what happens now? After Pesach, you're right, a Pesach would turn into a Shlamim, but this guy is in interesting in situation. He's Tamei Mate. If he's Tamei Mate, he still is required now to bring Pesach Sheni.
That Pesach
that he had on Pesach Rishon remains a Pesach, is because you use it as a Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So that's the case where you need Akira, because otherwise it's a Stam Le Pesach, because he's going to use it in Pesach Sheni. Ha Ba'alma. In general, Lo Ba'i Akira. So in general, you do not require the removal of the name of the Pesach. Ma'ika the Meimar. How are you going to reconcile that with our Mishnah over here that says when on Pesach all the Balim are gone and you shecht it, you sarif miyad, you burn it right away? What do you mean you burn it right away? You don't need Akira according to this. Why did he over there? You're saying you need Akira. So, Omar Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Hocha b'mayaskinan. What's the case here? Kagon shifrisho kodim chatzot. He separated out the korban before chatzot. Umeitu balim achar chatzot. And the owners passed away after chatzot. Avilei nire v'nidche. It was a korban that was ra'ui at one point, and then got pushed off. V'chol nire v'nidche. Something that was ra'ui to be a korban, and then pushed off. Shuv enu chuzer v'nire. It's no longer valid as a korban at all. So this is something called dichui. Dichui is something in Karbanot, which there's a major machloket amongst both the Tanaim and the Amoraim as to the din or the status of dichui. Dichui can manifest itself in different ways. Dichui can come up because there's a mum. It can come up because there's a problem with the balim. Dichui means that at some point the animal was ra'ui to be the korban or to be a korban, and then for whatever reason it's no longer ra'ui right now to be a korban. Then, later on, it comes back and is ra'ui again. So, for instance, you have a case, I'm going to give you a random case, a case where you had a korban whose owner was ra'ui, then he became tamei, so he's no longer ra'ui, and then he became tahor again, and now he is ra'ui. So that's something where it goes from being ra'ui to be a korban, to being not ra'ui to being a korban, to being ra'ui. It moves through different stages. Over here, what's relevant to us is after chatzot, only after noontime. A Korban Pesach is only ra'ui to be a Pesach after Chatzot on Erev Pesach. Before that time in time, it's not ra'ui to be a Korban because it can't go on the Mizbeach. It's only a time that it could go on the Mizbeach. So what he suggests over here is that the Korban was mafrish before Chatzot. Took off the Pesach before Chatzot. We cross over Chatzot, and you now have something that's ra'ui to be a Korban a Pesach, and the Balim are alive. So this is a Korban that could have been brought as a Pesach. Suddenly, the Balim pass away. Well, the Balim passed away now, it's no longer valid as a Korban Pesach. Well, it was Ra'oi. Now it got ruined because the Balim are no good. That's Nidche. And once it's Ra'oi, Nir'ev Nidche, no longer can it be good as a Korban anymore. And that's the problem over here. That's the suggestion of Vuna Breder of Yeshua, that the problem over here of the Korban in our Mishnah is not a problem of Akira and not Akira. And so the problem is that the Korban was ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. They got ruined from going on the Mizbeach. That's why he's Sareif Miyad. Because it's no longer going to be valid, period. It'll never be valid anymore. It's like a Psulo B'Gufo. Psulo B'Gufo, you're going to burn it right away. So that's his solution to the problem. So that's why Shachato Stam is Kasher. And you can even go back in the case of Rav Huna Merav and say Shachato Stam over there, according to this reasoning. Because now our Mishnah is no longer a problem for anybody who says that to Lo Ba'i Akira. Our Mishnah is not talking about Akira. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it was already ra'ui to be a korban and they got ruined. So that's what the psul is over here. Gemara says, midu time el Rav. Wait a minute, you're trying to solve a problem for Rav. Rav, who said, Amar Bahuna, Amar Rav. It's the name of Rav. Rav says, Amar Rav, balichayim enin dachim. As long as the animal's still alive, there's no dichui. Dichui only applies to karbanot that are already shechted. Dichui does not apply to animals that are alive. We are talking about a korban pesach that's still alive. Dichui does not apply to live animals, to live karbanot. Dichui applies once the animal is shechted, and let's say, for instance, the blood spills, or it's by the seirim on Yom HaKippurim, and the other seir dies, his pair dies. That's dichui because the animal is already shechted, you can have dichui. If it's alive, no dichui according to Rav. So if that's the case, your solution is really nice, but it doesn't help us over here. Because Rav Lashitato says there's no dichui over here, and that's not going to solve our problem. El Amar Papa Hamani Rabbi Eliezer hi. The Orf Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer. Damar v'chein ashochet acherim l'shem Pesach pasul. Again, this is Rabbi Eliezer we saw earlier in the Masechta that someone who shechs other karbanot l'shem Pesach is pasul. Davilei psulo bigufo, and that's a psul neguf. So wait a minute. So here ashochet acherim l'shem Pesach. Here, that's what you have. Let's assume here what the problem is, that it really did turn into a shlamim. You don't need akira. Like Rav said before, remember when a Rav, shachato stam, it turns into an olah. Our Mishnah also, the Pesach will automatically turn into a shlamim. So what's the problem here? What's the problem with the shlamim? It was shechted after the Tekaban Tabincho Ben Arvayim. That's not enough of a reason to burn it. So why are you burning it? This is according to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, if you shecht another korban l'shem Pesach, psul begufo. That's what you're doing over here. The person who's bringing this korban over here, shechting l'shem Pesach, because he thinks it's a Pesach. In the end, it turns out it was a shlamim. So what is he doing? Shechting a shlamim l'shem Pesach. According to Rabbi Elazar, that's a psul begufo. Psul begufo is misrach miyad. So no problem, you're right, it did turn into a shlamim. But this is Rabbi Elazar, who says even when it's a shlamim, if you do the shem Pesach, you're in trouble. It's psul and psul begufo. Where it says, E Rabbi Eliezer, if Rabbi Eliezer is the author of our Mishnah, Chatat Nami Michayev, then you should also be Chayav, a Chatat. Because over here, this is a mistake that we cannot say is reasonable. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yeshua, I understand. According to Rabbi Yeshua, if you check the Shlamim, L'Shem Pesach, you ended up doing a mitzvah. It's Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. You made a mistake, you made it to a mitzvah, and you did a mitzvah in the end, because the Shlamim is kasher in the end, according to him. Shlamim, L'Shem Pesach is kasher. But, according to Rabbi Lezer, Shlamim, L'Shem Pesach is pasul. If it's pasul, then you didn't do anything good, you gotta bring a chatat. Why does our Mishnah say patur mi chatat for Shabbat? So you should have been chayav. So that's what he says. He, Rabbi Lezer, you're chatat, nami mi chayav. Lately, Rabbi Eliezer, Toev Dvar Mitzvah Patur. He doesn't have this concept of Toev Dvar Mitzvah Patur, so you don't have any help over here. You have a Shlamim that's trying to turn into a Pesach. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's totally Pasul. Totally Pasul, you did nothing good on Shabbat. You didn't do a mitzvah. Even if you did, maybe Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't help you anyway. But it's Toev Dvar Mitzvah. You should be Chayav HaChatat over here. So that can't be our solution. Elo Targuma, Rav Yosef, Brei de Rav Sala, Chasita, Kamei de Rav Papa, Ha Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Yosef ben Honaihi. The author of our Mishnah is this Tana, Yosef ben Chunai. Titzan, we have a Mishnah that has Yosef ben Chunai in it, which is Yosef ben Chunai Omer, and Shchatim l'shem Pesach, l'shem Chatat, Psulim. So he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that if you shecht a Korban, l'shem Pesach, or l'shem Chatat, then it's Pasul. Now we know that a Pesach and a Chatat that are shechted l'shem any other Korban are Pasul. But Yosef ben Chunai says it goes in both directions. That not only if you shech them l'shem another karban they pasul, but if you shech another karban l'shem pesach l'shem chatat, they're also psulim. So now that'll solve our problem in our Mishnah. What's the problem in our Mishnah? The problem in our Mishnah is that you shech the shlamim l'shem pesach. So ain't ochanami, you don't need akira. The pesach turned into a shlamim. The problem is now you shech the shlamim l'shem pesach. That's the psul. Alma psulo begufohi, that's a psulo begufo, mishuachi sarif miyad, therefore it's burnt right away. What about the problem we had, Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer said before, well, if that's a psul begufo, then you have a problem of should bring a chatat for Shabbat as well. No, there, sabar like Rabbi Yoshua. If Yosef ben Chunai will hold like Rabbi Yoshua, that tov b'var mitzvah is patur. Rabbi Eliezer, we have a problem because it's Rabbi Eliezer the shitato. Rabbi Eliezer says it's psul begufo also is the one who says tov b'var mitzvah doesn't help you. Yosef ben Chunai, we don't have his position by Tar B'Dvar Mitzvah. We don't know what his position is. So now we'll solve our problem. We'll say he has the position by Shlamim L'Shem Pesach, Pasul, like Rabbi Eliezer. But B'Tor B'Dvar Mitzvah, he'll hold like Rabbi Yeshua, and then he can be the author of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, it turns into a Shlamim. No problem. There's no Akira needed. It turns into a Shlamim automatically. What's the problem here? He shechted the Shlamim L'Shem Pesach. Shlamim L'Shem Pesach, according to Yosef ben Chunai, is Pasul B'Gufo, burn it right away. What about the fact that he did it on Shabbat? Why aren't you chayav a chatat? He holds like Rabbi Yeshua. It's tov b'dvar mitzvah. Over here, he was trying to do a Pesach. So since he was trying to do a Pesach, now, even though it didn't end up even doing any mitzvah, therefore, possibility is maybe it's according to Rabbi Meir, not even according to Rabbi Yeshua, because here he never ends up doing any mitzvah, because it's psulo b'gufo. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi makes another suggestion over here. Rav d'amar ki Rabbi Yishmael b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Yishmael, he holds like Rabbi Yishmael b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the Tanya. Bishmal benosha Rabbi Yochanan Maroko Meir im yesh shahut bayom. If there's still time left in the day, leidayim mashchu balim etidem o shemetu o shenitmu. There's enough time left in the day to figure this out. Meaning that if you're pressed for time and you can't figure out whether the balim are still here or not, then you shecht it and go ahead and do it. But if you had enough time to figure it out, then chayav. You're chayav because you did the wrong thing. Vitu ba'ar tzurato. And then you have to let it go bad. You have to let it have lina. The yotze the beit three funds take out to be burned. My time, la mishum delo by akira must be because it doesn't require akira, and that's why it's tubar tzurato. Tubar tzurato because it's not psulo begufo. It says mimai. How do you know that's the reasoning for Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? There's another possibility. Tilma mishum de kasavra law that he holds kitana de bei rabba baravua. He holds like kitana baravua damri afilu pigul nami by ibur tzura. that he holds that even psulo begufo is not nisraf. Even pigo requires ibud tzarat. The elif avon avon mi notar. Learns out gzeira shava from notar avon avon mi notar. And just like by notar requires ibur tzarat, so too over here it's going to require ibud tzarat. Dilo tema hochi. If that's not the case, then you can't explain the Mishnah. Nitmu balim ma'ika lemeimar. If the balim became tmeim, what are you going to say? Havadei by akira. There for sure it requires akira. Damar avchir bargamdu. That's what we just quoted before. That if you become tamei, tamei mate, then the karban remains a pesach because you can bring it on pesach sheni. So there for sure you require akira. So in these rakami piachura, gonche balim tamei mate, v'nidchul pesach sheni. And therefore, it does require akira. It certainly requires akira. The solution here cannot be that it's authored by Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Broka, and they hold that in these types of cases, lo bai akira. And lo bai akira, therefore, it's a psul, or external psul, not psul begufon. That's why you need ibur tzura over here. That can't be the case. Because if that was the case, one of the instances where Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Broka says that it's a problem, it's a case of nitme'u, where it became tamei. If it comes tamei, there clearly you require akira. And that's clearly what the problem is over here, that you need to do akira, and that's the problem. So that can't be the answer, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the problem he has in the Mishnah is because that he holds, like Tana debate Rabbi Baravua, that says you need Ibur Tzura for everything. Even if it's psulo begufo. And the case here is that it's also psulo begufo, and he would require akira. Ella mechavarta, it's clear, kedeshani mikara, that we, as we learned before, that Yosef ben Chunai, that Yosef ben Chunai is the author of our Mishnah. And being the author of our Mishnah, he has a position that you don't require akira, that it's stam becomes good for the other item. That what's the problem in our Mishnah is that if you shecht et shlamim l'shem pesach, that that's a psul bigufo and requires sreifa. That'll explain the breita that has, qualifies our Mishnah. And as far as why you're not chayev chatat in our Mishnah is because he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, or really Rabbi Meir, hatam b'dvar mitzvah is patur legabei Shabbat. And the other options are not available to us. We had other suggestions. One suggestion, which could be true still, is to change the memra of Rav Huna Merav. That's one possibility. The other possibility we have is Rav Huna Breder Yeshua's possibility is that he frishu godem chatzot, and then he died, Balim died after chatzot, that it was nirev and nidchet. We rejected that because this is Rav, and Rav believes balei chayim ein anidachim. We had the suggestion that the author might be Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that we rejected also because there's one instance in our Mishnah where it's clear it requires akira, and if it requires akira, if he says that it's stam, then it's clearly a psul begufo, and if it's a psul begufo, then why aren't you doing a b'sreifa? It must be because he holds like Rabba Baravua, who says that everything goes the Ibur Tzura, not the Sreifa. And that's why, over here, he believes that it's Ibur Tzura, not because of what we thought, possibly, that the problem here is external. And it's a Shlamim here, and you do not need Akira, that can't be the explanation of our mission. And therefore, we're left with only one person who can explain our mission, that's Yosef ben Chonai. Hadron Alach, Elu Dvarim. Okay, we're gonna stop over here.